You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come from you, get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. Our government cares about
they
you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Ghetto people. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah, ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Yes. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well for you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it wasn't, and it had to be done, it must be done, it will get done, because why? You will do it. And that's why we love you and appreciate you. And you will do it safely. That's right. You will do it safely. Because that madness is still out there. You know, I ain't advocating nothing. The only thing I'm advocating is good health, nutrition, you know. But if you want to get a vaccine, you do that. You know, I'm not promoting anything except for good health and us being who we are. I'm definitely promoting that. You're listening to the African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program, of course, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all the times they're going to give are Eastern times. Tonight, this evening, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jahad Ahmed. That's followed by, from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kambon and Nataki Kambon. Then that's followed from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank. On Wednesdays, the Farmers, the American African Farmers Report is going to, I think it's supposed to start this Wednesday. I'll have the details when we have a... We're back here again. I think it's at 7 or 8 o'clock on Wednesdays. No program on Thursdays, unfortunately, but I'm quite sure we'll come up with something. So Friday at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. It's Time for an Awakening on Fridays at 8. On Saturdays at 4, from 4 to 6 on Saturday, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then on Saturday from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for Awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com, all those products that are produced by us. Also, too, once again, when you go to the website, WeBuyBlack.com, you see they're raising money to have a supermarket here in the Atlanta area with all the millions of us living here, because there's 6 million people in the metropolitan area. There's only 400,000 some of us. No, 600,000.
600,000, of which about, I'd say, over half of that 600,000 is us here in the city of Atlanta. And we don't have a supermarket. We don't even have a service station with a convenience store to it. We don't have it. It's a damn shame. Got beauty parlors. Got plenty of beauty parlors. And there's a few funeral homes too, of course. It's like the only industry that we can control solely is hair care. No, I say it right. Beauty parlors and barbershops. Beauty parlors and barbershops and funeral homes. Because the hair care product industry, the Koreans have it. The nails, the Koreans have it. There's a sister, in fact, Ben Njai, the Black Panther's wife. She got her license to be a nail tech. Right on, sister. Anyway, African for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba, he'll be on the program on Wednesday. And, of course, he'll talk about the recent trip to Senegal and Gambia and other things that are happening, of course, in Africa, in his work in Africa to establish a place for us to repatriate that would be beautiful and affordable, and all of other good things. So Brother Bomani Tayemba will be my guest on Wednesday, this Wednesday coming up. And then it's Friday, and once again, is my good brother Akil Parker. We're going to talk about Walter Rodney and Pan-Africanism, the history of Walter Rodney and Pan-Africanism. But if you want to look at photos, go to Facebook.com. I believe the latest photos will be up there. So go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, and I'm quite sure they might be up there too, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Habash. Dr. Rinoko Rashidi. I'm jumping the gun here. Baba Rinoko, he has a webinar scheduled for next week, Friday and Saturday, April 30th. And Saturday the 1st, on the African presence in early Europe. It is a Eventbrite. You go to Eventbrite and put in Renoco's information, more details. Of course, he has a tour upcoming, July 18th through the 3rd, an educational tour to Ghana with Professor Small, James Small, and Dr. Lynn Jeffries. But he also has a trip in July 31st to August 13th to Kemet. So he's going to be in Ghana, and then he's going to leave probably there, even though the trip to Ghana he's promoting is August 3rd, the 18th to the 3rd, you know. But he's going to be leaving for Kemet July 31st to August 13th in Kemet. So he has a lot going on, Baba Rinoko Rashidi. Habasha. And anybody wants to give him, you know, go online to drrinoco.com. But if you want to give him a call, it in 323-803-8663. That's 323-803-8663. Dr. Rinoko Rashidi. Habashaincorporated.org. The brothers are doing the work. They have a repatriation initiative. 6 months online, 12 months in Ghana. It's a course. It includes all of those things. Go to their website, HabashahIncorporated.org. Habashah Incorporated. Habashah stands for helping establish schools at home and abroad. Helping Africa to establishing schools. Get it right, Oshie. Get it right. And all the great projects that they have to offer. HabashahIncorporated.org. The LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for the Land for Environmental Development, or Group Economics. And that's the LEDGE Group. And, of course, they have a safari raffle. You can win a Tanzanian safari. And go to theledgegroup.com, and check it out and get all the particulars about the safari. And, of course, the LEDGE deals with the four elements that are vital and essential to human life, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects on the continent at 6 different countries and over 170 people employed and over 260 members. They need you as a member as well. Go to theledgegroup.com. Bibi Atumi. BibiAtumi.com. Brothers and sisters, Once again, go to Bibi Atumi, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I, BibiAtumi.com. This Saturday the 24th. Remember, they're at 1 p.m. now. 1 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Eastern. This Saturday is Building Strong Immunity the Natural Way. This is going to be a good one to deal with. Learn to build strong immunity the natural way. This is what we on this program advocate. I'm not advocating for any other thing but good health. I'm advocating anything that we can do to help one another on this program. And that's going to be this Saturday, and it's going to be at 1 p.m. Eastern. All right. BibiAtumi.com. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta, across the street from the Soul Veg, Soul Vegetarian, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which is open on Fridays and Saturdays from 1 to 7. Here on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. And of course, the Shrine has it all. They got books, they got furniture, they got clothing, they got artwork. Oh man, they got it. They got the red, black, and green shoes. They got shoes. They got it. Check out the Shrine. If they don't have a Shrine in your area, contact them. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, with delicious smoothies and nutritious drinks and all kinds of good stuff. That's Wadada's. And they have a vegan caterer on the weekends. Brothers come through as a vegan caterer on the weekends. So, the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. She's in her location now in the Greenbrier Mall. So, yeah, there you go. She's in the Greenbrier Mall. And check her out. If you want to give her a call to see if she has the book that you request. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. They have a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, artwork, artifacts, all kinds of good stuff. That's the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. My good brother Gazimde Ajamu has a nice coffee bar serving delicious Cameroon boy and all the kind of good stuff. Brother Gazimde Ajamu. And the number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Us Lifting Us, Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, Family Center Economics. The Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. Go to blogtalkradio.com. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us. The name of the program is Dare to Win. That's every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern from 9 to 10. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. And for more information, contact our dear sister, Shelly Amonsette, at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Haiti. Brothers and sisters, go to Sanjay Dash Haiti. Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E Dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay Dash Haiti. Help those brothers and sisters out in the northeastern portion, in the hills, in the rural area of Haiti. You know, as tough as it is in Haiti, they're not getting any funding. They're requesting and they're relying on charitable individuals philanthropic individuals like yourselves to support Sister Gabby Sanjay-Haiti. Akaban Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama Yah, their school is happening and it needs support, and we need you to support it. Brothers and sisters, if you can send a check or money order to Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But of course, most people use PayPal and Cash App. So I suggest you go to Cash App and put in the dollar sign and Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and make your contributions to Baba Baruti and Mama Yah at Akaban Institute. You want to check out some books. Of course, you know Baba Baruti's prolific, many books out. AkabanHouse.com, AkabanHouse.com. This Saturday, Common Sense Security, this Saturday at 9 a.m., 9 a.m., Baba Baruti. This program is at 9 a.m. this Saturday from 9 to 12. Donation is $10 individual and $20 a family. Go to PayPal, Yah, and for PayPal, Yah, Y-A-A, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, at yahoo.com. Cash App, the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A-M, Baruti, B-R-U-T-I. Common Sense Security. You want to put your name, your address, so you can give. Make sure you get the link for Saturday's event. Also, too, the Men's Quarterly will be in May 8th. Warriorhood, Healing, and Ma'at is the subject. Warriorhood, Healing, and Ma'at is at 12, from 12 p.m. to 2 on Saturday, May 8th. And then the 7th Annual Complementarity Conference, June 5th, 2021, Affirming African Love. We'll announce those as they come. All right. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. April 18th. The wind must have heard your voice once. It echoes and sings like you. Henry Dumas. African women cannot help the way they look, the subtle intoxication of their fragrance, the rhythm of their walk, their sway, the melodious way their voices sing are gifts naturally bestowed upon them only. Their beauty is not their fault, nor is it a fault. Softly, it exudes incomparability. Its exquisiteness is a blessing that only they possess, a generous gift to African men. African women. Oh, sorry about that. African women are our vessels of hope, elegant carriers of our timeless resilience, love, and victory. Everything about them speaks magnificently about their timeless, defining, ideal womanhood. Their voices carry the original vibrations of one undefiled body, mind, and spirit. Has a vibratory representation and expression of a person who commands respect and exudes inner and outer beauty. Her voice echoes and sings the melodies of femininity like the millions before her. She captivates the wind and calls it home. Affirm, I am captivated by the beauty of my compliments voice. Affirm, I am captivated by the beauty of my compliments voice. Ashe. April 19th. Blacks are still enslaved today for the very simple reason that all of our life-sustaining institutions are controlled by Europeans, and that is slavery, not just oppression. Bobby Wright. I love Bobby Wright. Yeah. Looking around the world, it is obvious that we have not yet quite decided whether we want to confront and end the Ma'afa or continue to actively contribute to our people's demise. For those to whom this question speaks to a real operative threat to our actual existence, know there is no middle ground, no neutral corner where one can hide in this war. Those who would fight for our place in the universe must be forced into an army. Imagine a legion of tempered descendants. They would know they can handle anything that confronts them. They would be empowered and self-determining. They would have found their infinite potential by having successfully passed the increasingly more difficult tests that we carefully and compassionately place before them. They would intuitively know that that can't die long before the ancients were born. They would know that they are African. When it comes to doing the most serious and difficult nation building work, the work of sustaining and defining our community, the last thought that we should ever hear come out of a warrior's mouth is what cannot be done. Just as no one is born wise, no one is born with self-confidence. It has to be developed. It has to be nurtured. It takes time. Affirm, I am working towards us completely and totally controlling all of our life-sustaining institutions. Affirm, I am working towards us completely and totally controlling all of our life-sustaining institutions. Ashe. Ashe. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesim. Yes, yes, yes. This was said by Lord Macaulay, his address to the British Parliament. Good, I hate to. I don't know about you, man. I try, even when they had it on the news, the funeral, I turned to another channel when I watched none of that bull. And whether or not Harry and what's his name were going to walk together, I could care less. This was said in 1835. The 2nd of February in 1835. I have traveled across the length and the breadth of Africa, and I have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief. Such wealth I have seen in this country, such high moral values, people of such caliber that I do not think we would ever conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of this nation, which is their spiritual and cultural heritage. Which is their spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore, I propose that we replace her old and ancient educational system, her culture. For if the Africans think that all that is foreign and English is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them, a truly dominated nation. Yeah, I know I hate it too, brothers and sisters, but it is the reality of what has happened to us. Truly a dominated people. Yeah. This is what Kwame Nkrumah said when he, well, this is a few years after 1957 when they became independent. It was a speech of freedom in 1961. I believe strongly and sincerely that we, with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture, united under one federal government, will emerge not just as another world bloc to flaunt its wealth and strength, but as a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, or suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and directed to the good of all mankind. This is what he said some years later. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. How sad and pathetic. Prophetic and prophetic. Ugh. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect that the Europeans have had on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts so as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europe. This is demanded by an African-centered view. Why? because we are Africans and because the future towards which the European leads us is genocide. Marimba Ani, my good sister. My good sister and friend, Dr. Marimba Ani. Man. Brothers and sisters, I hope everything is well with you. I'm gonna play another piece that I play all the time. I haven't played it in a while. Just a constant reminder of who we are. You know. Okay. Here we go.
There's a lot of talk of late on the African continent about the fact that Africans are awaking. There is a lot of talk about the fact that we are woke. But the question that I'd like to ask you is, almost 100 years ago, a man called Marcus Garvey rose and told Africans that they must unite. Unite in their control of resources. Unite as nations. Unite their imaginations, their dreams, aspirations, and capabilities to grow an Africa and a race that will be able to self-determine and compete against other races. A man called Kwame Nkrumah came and said the same message. And another by the name of Malcolm X said the same. But the question is, after almost a century since the rise of Marcus Garvey, has Africa achieved unity? Do we control our resources? Do we unite in our aspirations, dreams? And have we elevated Africa into a continent and a race that can compete and self-determine against other races? The truth of the matter is we have failed. We have failed because we have remained divided. We've continued to work as 54 different states that continue to be subjugated. This is why the French continue to have 14 colonies on the African continent. It is why 36 African countries have got American bases and AFRICOM on their soil. It is why many African countries continue to sell their resources, their institutions, for debt to countries like China. And the question that I'm now challenging you, the woke generation, with is, what are we going to do about it? The reason we've got wars on the African continent is because we're being divided for conquest. The reason we've got sanctions on the African continent is that all the independent knowledge and education, the power to take control of our resources, can be destroyed so that Africa can continue to be colonized by our Western colonizers. This is why now we need to rise. Remember that you, the African American, with all your paper money, the greatest wealth among all black nations, only have paper money, but the true wealth is in Africa. The true wealth is the reason why Africa is under sanctions and war, the one that Europeans want to keep for themselves. You need to bring your paper money, your skill, your knowledge, your frustration back to Africa to invest it in the control of real wealth and real resources in the form of the oil, the diamonds, chrome, lithium, cassiterite, and all the other resources that the Western worlds are fighting to control in Africa. Your paper money can be leveraged into machines, skills, technology, and the knowledge that Africa needs in order to move and prosper. You, the Caribbean, with your skill, power, determination. You, the Jamaican, the first people to resist European colonialism. You, the Haitian, the very first black peoples to defeat a European army. You were the answer to Africa's problems. You, the European African, with all that you've learned and earned, the basketball player, the soccer player, the sportsman, the singer, the musician, the actor, with all your billions of dollars, are the investment that Africa needs to stop its dependency on the colonizer. It's about time that we rose. And I'm saying that Marcus Garvey's dream can be fulfilled, because when he dreamt it, not a single country, not a single African country was independent. When he dreamt it, not many black billionaires existed, if any. But today we've got black billionaires. Today the richest man in Africa is a black man. We have what it takes and the capacity that it takes to grow our continent into being a continent that can be respected, can self-determine, control its resources, control the processing of those resources, and create currencies based on those resources to be the leading economy in the world. With that, we can industrialize, grow up the technology curve, and begin to create the machinery, the tools to defend the sovereignty of this continent. And now I say it's time that we unite. We have countries like Zimbabwe under U.S. war sanctions to make it unattractive for any African to come, because Europeans are preserving it for themselves. But I'm inviting you, my African-American brother, you Africans in the diaspora, you Africans on the continent, to say, come and take advantage of the greatest reserves of lithium, chrome, gold, true wealth, land, an opportunity to develop infrastructure for us to create wealth as a people, for yourselves, for the advancement of Africa. The time to awake is now, but awakening takes action, pride, investment, development, innovation, to give our people power. This is the time.
Power. What is power? You know, I love Dr. Wade Noble's definition. Power is the ability to define reality, then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. Europeans define reality. They went around the world taking everybody's stuff in the name of. They didn't come to barter. They didn't come to bargain. They didn't come to trade. They didn't come to do nothing but snatch it up, take it, claim that they discovered it. Power. The ability to define reality, then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. Europeans defined reality. We have accepted their definition as if it's our own. The question that we need to ask ourselves is, who are we in their reality? Well, of course, first we were the soulless people with no culture to speak of, you know, savages running around a jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created anything of any substance or anything at all. That's why I'm urging you as listeners to go to YouTube, go to youtube.com, put in the search, the movie, Great Pyramid, K, 2019. I know it's 3.5 hours long, and there are some parts that may drag, but it is well worth it. We plan to discuss this movie, this documentary, on the program. I'll be bringing out more details as our days come to that particular point. I haven't scheduled it yet,
but I'm urging some people to go onto YouTube, put in the search on YouTube, the movie Great Pyramid, letter K, Great Pyramid, K, 2019. Power, the ability to define reality, then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. The question we need to ask ourselves is, who are we in Europeans' reality? This is, no doubt about it, their reality. They, of course, always use technology and deceptiveness and just evilness, manipulation, undermining, all kinds of whatever tactic they need to use, they'll do. And they made us believe this is, should be our reality. Question, of course, is who are we in their reality? Then, because they believed that by enslaving us, they were doing us a favor by enslaving us, exposing us to Western ideas and Western concepts, the theology of Christianity. Christianity, I'm sorry, damn it. Christianity is terrible. It's terrible for us. All around this damn globe, where Negroes have embraced Christianity to the halt, they manipulate minds of our people. You don't find groups of our people doing well. You may find the pastor to do well, the minister to do well, the bishop to do well, whatever hell who he might be, or he or she might be. But you don't find us as a collective, because it's not designed that way. Christianity is the individualistic religion. And individualism is a problem. Because especially for African people, individualism is a European Caucasian white desire. I think, therefore I am. Individual, I have all the money. Individualism. Collectivism is an African imperative. It is a must. Because that's how we function. That's how we do great. When we're doing things collectively. Ubuntu. Ubuntu, brothers and sisters. Individualism. Who are we in their reality today? Thugs, drug addicts, no fit fathers, no fit mothers. The scourge. People who are ripe for imprisonment, ripe for destruction. They kill us and hunt us down like dogs. They continue to shoot us. To those who are in law enforcement, protected. They ain't no damn protected serve. This is comply or die. This is comply or die. Even the part, I heard some cats say, just go ahead and deal with it. And then once you've dealt with it, you've been, you know, whatever it is that you've been, whether you were arrested, fingerprinted, all those things, or whether you given a citation ticket, whatever, just go ahead and comply, because you might die. And then once you have it, and then you either yourself go to the precinct that for the arresting people or the citations from, and then you establish your complaints. Yeah, right. Comply or die. This is a police state. Anywhere African people are, and they are, as Dr. Bobby Rice said, they defies all laws of probability. Everywhere they are and we are, they're in position of dominance and control, and we're in a subservient position. They are a serious numerical minority on the planet, with numbers decreasing yearly. Their numbers, their population has been decreasing yearly. They've been experiencing population decline for decades. For every two that die, only one is born. Seriously, but yet they control every damn thing through fear, intimidation, lies, and deceit. It's very hard for me, You know, it's very hard for me. It really is, family. Because I want so much for us to be independent. So much for us to be self-determining, liberated. I want us to be sovereign. I want us to be at the table internationally as a sovereign group of people on a continent with tremendous resources, talking with other nations that they want this or that because we want that or this. Dealing with each other straight up. Ending conflicts, ending wars, ending internal strife. Of course, in Christian religion, the only one that can do that is Jesus. Man can't do anything. Human beings can't do anything. Human beings can't do anything. You got to have Jesus. And no other religion but Christianity. No, not Islam. No, not Judaism. Christianity in all of its many branches, many concepts, which are tons. Who's right? None of them are right for us. Not one of them are right. I know some brothers and sisters are into liberation theology. A lot of them, of our brothers and sisters, are unfortunately into prosperity. When I saw those Africans, you know, because T.D. Jakes was on TV today. He was talking about racism and how, I don't even, you know what? I forgot. That's how insignificant it was. I forgot. T.D. Jakes. But the reality is that nothing is going to save us. But an African idea, an African paradigm, an implementation of the way for African people. Nothing. There is no other way. You may think it is, you may hope it to be, you may want it to be. Many of us, because we are a loving people. And what they mentioned, I was watching this one piece of being forgiving. We're very forgiving of others, but not ourselves. Because we've been trained not to. We've been trained to hate ourselves. So we don't forgive each other. In fact, if I got a gun, I'm gonna kill your ass. Or any other weapon, whatever that weapon might be. Anything in your hand, under anger, frustration, and resentment, and hatefulness, is a weapon. It could be a cup, a bowl, a fork, a knife, whatever, let alone the availability of guns. This is a very violent place. In the European, because what the European has done, the world is violent. The world is a very violent place. When you couple in the fact that the world hates people who are dark-skinned, who are melanated. Everywhere on the planet, you got some melanated people. They're at the lowest end of the so-called economic ladder or within that society. Somebody mentioned India. That's why, and I'm quite sure there have been some people. I should go down. I ain't been down to Dr. King's center in a few years. I try to make it down here, see if they still have that statue of Gandhi. because, I mean, now people know about Gandhi and how he felt about us as African people, how he felt about the dark-skinned people in the caste system in his country of India. I know the tactic that he used was wise. They had no guns. They had people, but they had no, trying to deal with an enemy of somebody who is coming into your country, coming into your home, and they have ability to kill you. Yeah, I think you might acquiesce a little. You know, you might capitulate. You might say, okay, until the time that you can organize. And so these demonstrations, yes, they were met sometime violently and it lost a lot of lives, but those are the sacrifices. And I'm quite sure that from Dr. King's perspective, the same type of strategy, because no, we will always be outnumbered and outgunned. I appreciate those brothers and sisters who armed themselves, who have classes that teach other brothers and sisters to arm themselves. Last week I did the piece on the Not Messing Around, Fucking Around Coalition, okay? NFAC. Not to highlight Grandmaster Jay, but the idea and the concept. Unfortunately, Grandmaster Jay has his own issues. My good listeners, Brother Jay and Brother Ralph, pointed some things out. So no. But the idea of having a group of us come together to protect ourselves must be done. To have leadership that is genuine and sincere and committed, and not for self-aggrandizement, not to be out front, but even a cadre of leadership is what's necessary. Not an individual, not some charismatic leader, but a cadre must be done. We are in a tenuous position, brothers and sisters. Our future is not certain. There has been and continues to be, and it will start to probably excel in a depopulation of Africans. I told you that the Chinese, who are serious in Africa, developing in Africa, serious. In Zambia, I think they took over their airport because they built it, they couldn't pay, they took it. In Ghana, I witnessed it myself in Ghana, the roads they have built, the African mall they have in Accra. Not only did they build a road in Tamale, from Tamale to Moli Park, but they also built another resort higher on a hill that you can actually see in a road, paved road going in that direction. They ain't no joke. They're planning to plant 300 million Chinese on the African continent. Take 300 million people on land in Africa. The very sad part of all of this is that we, as Africans in America, Africans in the diaspora, and truly Africans on the continent, if we got it together, we would control this planet, because we would be the baddest people on the planet with the most resources. But yet, we continue to believe in things that we don't understand. And when you believe in things you don't understand, you suffer. That great visionary, Stevie Wonder. And then we are suffering people. The theologies that are not ours. I mean Islam too. And the black Hebrew Israelites, that's that madness. I never forget, I was watching, going through Facebook, and I clicked on these brothers in purple and gold t-shirts. I mean, marching in line, four abreast, you know, on the street, you know, very dedicated, very structured. And I'm like, wow, who are these? I thought it was a fraternity, you know, cause I think Omega Psi Phi has purple and gold. I don't know. I ain't in one, so I don't know. But anyway, that's what I thought. Then I come to find out they were the Black Hebrew Israelites marching in file. I was like, man, you know? And then you see them on corners and they're talking, and I've never stopped to listen, really, you know? I mean, I may do that. I would just listen because I don't want to get into a debate or discussion or challenges, something like that. You know, honestly, people's theology should be to themselves. I mean, it should be your personal thing. I don't give a damn what you believe in, you know. Just don't impose it on me. And the problem, of course, with Christianity is a proselytizing religion. And, of course, that's what the Black Hebrew Israelites are doing. They're proselytizing. They're trying to get you to convert, to come to their theology, you know. In fact, the top preachers in Christianity, this so-called prosperity gospel, T.D. Jakes ain't in it. Creflo Dollar ain't in it. Who's that now who took over Eddie Long's church? I think it's Jamal Bryant. He ain't in it. But two or three Africans, Nigerians, are in it. And I seen a piece about Kenyan, you know, some Kenyan pastors who are seriously, one even has a jet, cars, and that's a sister. The theology is the main impediment that prohibits us from unifying. The theology, particularly Christianity and Islam, because they're not unifying unless you're in that faith, unless you're in that theology. We need to unify on being African alone. That we are African and that we support the idea of African independence, of African self-determination, of African sovereignty, of controlling land and resources. We need to, anyway. Wow, man, time is flying. Get in on this conversation, brothers and sisters. This is like a, you know, open mic Monday. And if there's anything that you want to talk about or have anything to say, please, you know, give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, that's a little bit past the top of the hour, so we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, there'll be more discussion. I hope that you'll join us. You know, for those who are already in the queue, and there's a number of you, hit star twice. Lets me know that you want in on the conversation. Or if not, dial 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Payback. That is payback.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Da-dee-da-da-da-dee-da-da! I love it. The big payback, James Brown. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, once again, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, this program from 11 to 1, and all times are going to give our Eastern times, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, on Mondays, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming with Brother Ohad Ahmed. And that's followed by, from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Sister Nataki Kamban. That's followed from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Program. I'm going to get the details on the Black Farmers Program. It's supposed to start this Wednesday. No program on Thursday, but on Friday at 8 p.m., it's Friday and 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with LaWanda Chambers. And then at 7 on Saturdays, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then once again on Sunday at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Yeah. The big payback. I tell you, you know, it's deep, isn't it? It really is. It's deep. And it doesn't have to be. It's right there. It's right there. It's right in front of our face. But do we have the courage? Do we have the will? I see a number of people on the queue. If you want to get on this conversation, hit star twice. Let me know you want to. Have a question, comment, or concern, and it's always welcome. And if there's something else you want to talk about, that's welcome too. 602, good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Oshie, good afternoon.
Hey, Brother Marcus, how are you, sir?
I'm doing all right.
Good, brother. Yes, sir.
You know, in the early 90s, I when that group was just developing, the Hebrew Israelites, we used to see them on 125th Street. And they would cuss everybody out. They cuss everybody. I mean, you know, yeah. White folks would pass by, yeah. Cuss them out. The black folks by, we pass by, say, we African. Hell no, we ain't no African. Cuss us out too. Yeah. I mean, so I had a couple of friends who were in that organization too, but they were off. You know, the rapper done fell off their head a long time ago.
Okay.
So, you know, but I used to keep them on my side. You know, because it's better you keep them on your side.
I heard that. That's right.
But Brother Oshie, if our people can see what is going on in this American society, then they're blind. I mean, Stevie Wonder can't see what the hell going on.
Yep.
This society is falling apart. It wasn't developed to be harmonious anyway.
No,
from the inception
of
the society.
Exactly.
You see,
right.
From they came here and killed them Indians, and then went over there, they killed the Native American, and then took us and all kind of debauchery in this country. That is the foundation of the country. That is the root of the country. Violence. When the brother said, violence is American as apple pie.
Yes, it is.
And we get in a full dose of violence every day. Every day you wake up, there is a mass shooting. Every day we can see it playing in front of your face. This society is fragmenting. It's unraveling. And it's like Humpty Dumpty. You can't fix it. There ain't no fix it, this black folks. Even if we try to get in our own environment in this society, you have to have a way to protect yourself. And we don't have the protection here. These people ain't going to protect us. You know, we see what's happening in Minnesota right now. Everybody's on pins and needles. You know, so there is no solution for us in America. It's evident. The other day, what happened in Georgia? You manage to vote in somebody. They say, okay, here we go do. We go change the rules.
Yeah.
So when you learn the game, they say, okay, we just change the rules.
Yeah.
Right? And then I was running. Oh, yeah, well, man, look. Forget about him. If we could relieve so much stress if we pivot to 180 to the motherland. The motherland is wide open. I'm getting ready, Brother Osi. I got my house up. I'm trying to get me a box.
I know that's. House. I hear you, brother. I hear you. Well, hey, I'm going to have Brother Bomani Tayemba on the program on Wednesday. He just got back from Senegal and Gambia. He has a few more trips.
Yeah. I saw him on YouTube. Yeah, I saw him on YouTube. Wait, you know, them people having fun over there, Brother Osi.
Yes.
Our people, I saw them there eating together, talking together. I said, man, you know, that's whatever they are experiencing, I want to experience.
Yes. Yes.
I'm going to experience it here. This place is done.
Yeah.
It's done. It just got a little bit more. They try to pump in money in it to keep it up, but it's an artificial place.
Well,
it's artificial. It ain't real.
Well, its foundation, its foundation is terrible. It's weak. It's bad.
Exactly.
It's founded on exploitation, thievery.
You know. Yeah, I don't have no problem with America. You know, America is a beautiful country. It's the rulers. It's the people who run the country that's creating the problem. The landscape is beautiful. America is beautiful. But who is running it? They ain't pretty. They ain't beautiful. They ain't doing beautiful things. So it ain't going to stop black people. You know, Africa is calling. It's time to go home. If these people start to rumble, chances are, what they're probably going to try to do is start some conflict outside of America. I see something may jump off in Europe and in the Asian belt. So then you can send everybody over there. Mm-hmm. All these people who create problems for us, get them a good, send them behind over here. You want to shoot? They got something for you, though. Negroes who ain't paying attention.
Yeah.
Anyway, Brother Osi, thank you so much for your program. Keep on keeping on, good brother.
Thank you, Brother Marcus. Thank you for listening, man. I appreciate you for these many years. I appreciate you, brother.
All right, brother.
Have a blessed day. Yeah.
Good brother.
Brother Marcus is on point. We have to go home. We got to get out. That's the reality. Please. You know? 646-646, good afternoon. What's up, Jay?
Osi, Mark is still on the line?
Hold on, let me check him. Brother Marcus.
Yeah, I'm here.
All
I'm
right.
Here.
Hey, Marcus, did you leave Memphis?
Hey, as soon as I find a buyer, I'm getting delivered by here. As soon as I liquidate, I'll be the first thing smoking out of here, brother.
Okay, because I thought you had went to Phoenix, but where you going next? Back home?
I'm going to the motherland. Yeah, I moved from Phoenix to Arizona. That's where I moved from. I moved from Phoenix when the bottom fell out, when the housing market fell out. You know, down there, I said, hey, we got to get out of here. Yeah, and I came to Memphis.
So where you going to settle down
I'm
at?
Looking at Gambia. I'm really, really looking at Gambia. I'm really, really looking at Gambia. My wife is from Sudan, but Sudan got a little problem here right now. You don't want to jump out and jump into the fire, you know what I'm saying?
Because
they got some issues they got to work out. So I'm looking more to Gambia.
Well, if you're looking for Gambia, but Brother Bomani Tayemba just left. He's gone there many times to his Senegal Gambia trip. So please listen on Wednesday. He'll may have some updated good information for you. Yeah.
Definitely, brother. Mm-hmm. Definitely. But it's done, Jay. It's done, man. Yeah. Liquidate and leave.
in Tanzania, in Tanzania, we don't know what's going to happen with them now that they assassinated the president and they have the sister in charge now, man. I mean, you know, it's going to be real interesting because, you know, Tanzania is the one place where a lot of our revolutionaries have gone after having to, you know, leave America. And there's never been a treaty of, you know, them capturing them and bringing them back to this hellhole. So it's going to be real interesting to see what's going to happen on that front, man. Because I, you know, I've seen documentaries and I've read things about beautiful brothers that are over there doing beautiful things and educating the people. And it's just going to be interesting, man. I just hope that whoever this sister is, she don't change up things.
Well, we'll see. But, you know, the Ledge Group has done some great work in Tanzania. In fact, they have a deal with the government of Tanzania through the Ledge Group. If you are a member of the Ledge Group, you can buy an acre of land for $250.
Right.
For $250, you can buy an acre. Imagine you can get $1,000. You have 4 acres of land. It's a lot of land, you know?
Well, you know, I don't know what the going prices of land here in America is, but there's probably some places where you could get land for a decent price in this country. But, you know, the way the system is set up, man, you know, you got to have in order to do that because, you know, the one thing Malcolm always said, they ain't gonna make no more land.
No, and land is what it is. But the other thing, though, Jay, is this. You know, in America, it's eminent domain. You cannot be sovereign in America. Even Caucasians can't declare themselves sovereign in America. Okay?
You know, they'll take it when they need it.
Yeah, right. And you
or
see,
they want it.
Right, if they want it. You know, you've seen what happened. You can't say, I got this land, and I'm going to border it off and declare myself self-sufficient. I'm going to put up a wind turbine. I'm going to put up some solar panels. I got some water running through my land, you know, and find a way to keep it clean so I got fresh water. No, you know. No, you can't do
that. That's why I always thought when, you know, Farrakhan and the boys be talking that separation or else sugar, honey, I see. I just crack up and start laughing. You know what I mean? If you feel that way, take your black ass back home.
Well,
why you wanna separate here where, you know, if they decide they want to take it from you, they're going to take it from you. You know what I mean? These devils, the type, they'll let you build it up and do two things. Take it from you or burn it down. Yeah. I mean, come on, man.
Well,
sometimes we silly.
Well, you know, I know that came out of the time of the latter 60s into 70s of the Republic of New Africa, along with the Nation of Islam, trying to say where the majority of our people live, where I'm living now here in Atlanta or in the southern states. And so, and we were brought here, and most of us worked here in the southern states, that we should have this land. But that's not going to happen here in America. You, not only will you not get reparations, you cannot territorialize yourself off and declare yourself self-sufficient or declare yourself sovereign. You can't do it.
Hold on.
Go ahead, Marcus.
But, yeah, you got to remember, you know, the name of their organization is the Nation of Islam. It's not the Nation of Africa. It's the Nation of Islam. I remember I asked Ella that. I said, Ella, why are these people? He said, look, the name is the Nation of Islam, not the Nation of Africa.
Yeah, you're right. Go ahead.
Hey, man, you remember Alambe used to just say, it is what it is, with stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, but Alambe was a total pan African is on the highest order. I mean, we don't even, you know, somebody really need to do some sort of documentary on the significance and the importance of Alambé Brass and what he did in regards to connecting African people in America with African leadership. I don't think nobody has done what he's done and brought the type of African leaders to America the way he had. No, there's no one I could think of, man. I mean, the significance of him is just absolutely mind-boggling, man. I mean, when you put into real context of who and what he was, I mean, one of the most simplest things that he brought forward to the Black community was the beauty of dark-skinned African women with afros and the whole modeling thing. Not I sure. mean, it's just things that brother did that were amazing, man. And you know, man, he's just one of those ancestors that need to be bigged up. But right quick, Oshie, I wanted to ask you this, man, because you had mentioned your state. Hey, man, what's going on with the repealing of the voters bill that they passed? Man, are the Negroes quiet? Is the white man saying that that's not important no more? Because as you can see, they're not going to pass HR1. I mean, Biden done played them. So I'm thinking that there's going to be less talk about HR1 until he need to get the Negroes in another fizzy up so they could go out there and vote for these Urugals.
Well, I haven't heard anything recently about what happened here, you know, and what's possibly going to happen across this country. There's 30-something, damn near 40 other states that have, Republicans have bills that are designed to, under the disguise of fair and equal elections, to suppress voting, particularly our voting, because that's the reality. You know, the Republicans lost because we voted heavily against them, heavily, you know, and that's the swing. That's the margins. See, so no, I haven't heard anything in, you know, except for they're very angry that the Major League Baseball took the All-Star game from them. You know.
Yeah, but you know, the bottom line is the one thing you can say about North Carolina, they did repeal that law in North Carolina, but it don't look like they're gonna repeal anything in Atlanta because they basically telling you F you, what you gonna do about it? You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. and you know, at this point in time, they were supposed to, you know, put the pressure on or whatever, but as we can see, it's not going to be no pressure. And now we're really going to get an interesting take on what happens in the next few days with this Chauvin case, because now the sycophants are on high alert. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because if these Urugals let him walk, or if there's a hung jury,
well, it'll be
or
a hung
if there's
jury.
Anything. I'm starting to think in the climate that we in, it's only going to be for two things.
It'd be a hung jury.
A hung jury or guilty.
Exactly.
It's not going to be
I agree with you,
Jay. It's not going to be no total acquittal. They can't give him a total.
They can't.
They can't give him a total acquittal because if the country would suffer what they suffered with Rodney King.
Right.
And the thing is now, I think the police have more leeway in just out and out killing us than they did back with Rodney. Rodney, they had to be a little bit of control.
Rodney King was the signal. Rodney King was the beginning. Number one, it was the first time that we literally seen what was happening. And we saw it. It was documented. It was filmed. Cat had a camcorder, no cell phone, none of that. He had a camcorder, and he filmed it across the way. So you've seen it. They took the trial outside of Los Angeles, outside of L.A. County, took it to Simi Valley, and they presented right. it. All of the information, everything else was there. And yet, that verdict came back because the bottom line is that we need the police to be that buffer between us good, nice white people and that evil, dark criminal element outside of us, the police. So we give the police the leeway, the benefit of the doubt. If they rough them up too tough, so be it. If they kill them, hey, they should have complied. Remember, this is they now comply or die. Yeah. It's comply or die. You know, and so that's what happened. And then, of course, that's been happening since. A few people have been convicted, the dude in South Carolina, the cop in South Carolina, but that was
but
so blatant.
There has to be one or two. Always. Yeah. There always has to be one or two in every situation to try and normalize the brutality. You know what I mean? We're gonna give up one or two, but on the whole, you know, nah, there ain't going to be no giving up everyone.
No.
You know, because we got to get rid of some of y'all niggas.
Yeah.
You know, it's too many of y'all niggas walking around and acting a fool.
Well, also,
so
too.
We just going to get rid of them. But it's when it's egregious and they can't get away with it, then that's when they'll sacrifice one. Now, this whole thing with Chauvin, he got to be sacrificed because it was just too blatant and egregious. And the manner in which they tried to get him off is just utter foolishness. Come on, man. You can't expect me to go for that boo-boo the clown sugar honey iced tea on this one. The man is on his neck.
Right.
The man is dying. He was basically out cold, and you still kept your knee on his neck. And the picture just shows you the lack of regard for human life. Just shows the savage for the savage that he was. And hey, the bottom line is he may have to pay the piper. And always remember this. Always remember this. He was willing to give himself up and not make this theater of the absurd move forward, because nobody talks about this. He was willing to plead guilty, but Bill Barr said no. So now imagine if he had pleaded guilty and there was no trial, what would be the narrative now? It would not be the narrative that it is now, because if there's a hung jury or he's found not guilty, all hell gonna break loose.
Well, I think it's going to be a hung jury. I believe it's going to be a hung jury because of the 12 people. There's going to be one or two, and that's all it takes is one, really, that's going to not see all that evidence and have a doubt. They'll have a doubt, and then they won't
that's
go
why
along with your conviction.
Whenever I'm on a trial, that's what I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been on two trials that I hugged the jury.
I can see that from your ass, Jay.
Oh yeah. No. No BS, man. I was on in both of the trials. The people was guilty as a mofo.
They were black.
They was young, and I wasn't going for it.
Listen, Jay, there was a brother. I can't remember the brother's name, man. But he was an attorney, and he talked about jury nullification.
Jury nullification. Yeah,
jury
that's
nullification.
What it is. Yeah, because I had read it in the book, man, and like a year later, they had called me for this trial, man, and you know, I was at my real militant stage right then, but I played the Negro. Like I was acting on the highest level. I was like James Earl Jones or something like that. I was splendid. So the trial was for like 2 weeks, man. And, you know, I played the Negro like no Negro whatsoever, man. And we got into the deliberation room. And we had, the first ballot is always the secret ballot. So we had the secret ballot, man. and it was 11-1. And I said, yeah, to myself. I said, yeah. So, you know, it go on and they debate. I ain't tell you, man, I hugged that bad boy up for 4 days, man. I had this devil, and you know, I was at my military state, but I was on point. Man, I used to bust this you know what up all day long. You know he almost called me a nigga. You know what I mean? He almost called me it. You know what I mean? But he caught himself, and I told him, yeah, say it. And then it really, I said to him, say it.
And then just it really go ahead and encourage him and say it. Huh?
Because I'm letting you know now, buddy, I'm not convicting him or nothing.
Do you know when they had the retrial? Do you know when? Do you have any idea? What happened then?
Yeah, they had a retrial like 8 months later, and he was found guilty.
Yeah.
But I was like, man. And then the second time, it was two of us that wasn't gonna convict the sister. It was a sister. You know what I mean? And that was what was so crazy, because the sister had sliced up her boyfriend's side chick. It was a crazy case.
Mm.
And what had happened was the woman had put hands on her because she caught her with a man, and the girl sliced up. Now they wanted to convict her for causing too much damage, you know, not being justified defense of herself, they said, or whatever. But yeah, me and this brother, I was surprised, said not guilty. Now I was doing jury nullification. I don't know what he was doing. And what was so crazy, man, we had two black women and two Spanish women and two white women, and the rest were men. And let me tell you something, man. This is where I know our people are really, really sick, and how the Babalooey is sicker. Man, those four women wanted to convict this woman so bad that the black woman and the white woman got into an argument over the charges, and I was just sitting there in amazement, man. I never saw a black woman fight so hard to convict one of her sisters in my life, man. It was wild. That one we hung up for 3 days, and the only reason it didn't go longer, to be honest with you, was it was a Friday, and they didn't wanna be sequestered for the weekend. Yeah. So, but it was, I can tell you, anytime I was sequestered, I loved it, man, because the food was banging. Oh, man. The food was banging. I mean, they let you order whatever you want.
That's right.
Let me tell you something, man. I ain't good for those around.
I ate good for three, for like a week, man.
That was some of the best.
You were sequestered for a week?
I was sequestered for the first case 4 days, and for the last one 3 days.
Okay.
And would it have been sequestered longer? But what happens is, and this is how it always go, come Friday, when they talk about you gonna be sequestered and you're not gonna be able to go home, then that's when they say, "We not doing this." So on the first trial, it was a Thursday that we had the hung jury, which was cool. Mm-hmm. And the last time, it was a Friday because nobody wanted to stay for the weekend,
even though I was loving it.
But you know what happened was this. I've never been able to get back on the trial again, man.
Yeah, yeah, they got you. They got you. Well, let me tell you about my situation. It was September. It was September 10th, 2001. And,
whoa.
And it was Monday. And I was one of the last people selected. I was waiting for hours. I was one of the last people selected for a trial against this Caucasian who refused to pay child support, you know. And so they selected me, damn it. A Muslim brother I knew also was selected on the trial, you know. So we talked about it as I gave him a ride home, you know, that we gonna fry this cat, man. We gonna roast this dude, you know, failure to pay child support. But of course, I got the call in the morning. A friend of mine called me and said, "Oh, she, the World Trade Center's on fire," you know. And I thought it was like maybe an upper floor kitchen or something like that. Until the time that I seen the second plane crash into the building, I was like, "Oh man!" And so when I went to the fire department headquarters to get the slip to take to the court so I could get paid, you know, when I went to court, that's when they canceled all federal buildings to be, they ordered all federal buildings to be closed, you know, and all state buildings to be closed. So that was my
deal.
You
know, I remember that's the one, that, you know something, this is crazy, O, but that's the one place I remember what I was doing and where I was at when that happened.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't remember many places where I was at and where, you know, over those times. But I can tell you exactly where I was when I heard the news of that going down, man. I'll never in my life forget that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing I don't think I'll never in my life forget. I know exactly where I was, exactly what I was doing, and everything.
Yeah. My earliest memory of an incident that was an impactful incident was Kennedy getting killed. You know, I remember where I was
in
school, you know, playing on the playground and whooping cat's ass saying, "Oh, you killed Kennedy," you know. I was a little kid, you know. Because what was that, 63, you know, and I was 11 years old, so, you know, but, you know, that day, I remember that day in detail, remember that whole day in detail, and the subsequent days after that, because I began to look suspiciously on that whole situation, and then not too long after that, In Plain Sight came out. And then not too far after that, Architects for 9/11 Truth came out, you know. And this being
But wasn't
the,
you in the fire department at
yes,
that time?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I had to go to the fire department headquarters to get a slip so I could do jury duty and get paid. I was slated to do jury duty for the first time and the last time, you know.
Did they try to get you to come to New York?
No. There are certain departments that have specialized training, high-rise training, deep tunnel training, trench rescue, all of these things. And those individuals went to New York. Some departments sent their individuals to New York to assist in that. I did go 2 months later, November 11th, the Vulcans of New York, their building is in Brooklyn. They have a building in Brooklyn. And
yeah, I bet that, brother.
Yeah. So the Vulcans of New York. Yeah, Brother Paul Washington, he was the president at the time.
Yeah, real nice guy,
yeah.
Man. I mean, he's the type of brother, man, that he really, how could I say it? He really gave his all to try and get our people into being, firefighters.
Well, real
nice guy, man.
Yeah, well, the first one is Brother David Floyd from New York. And Brother David Floyd was our president for over 10 years. The International Association of Black Professional Firefighters was our president for 10 years. And so we're in New York. And I think about 12 of our members of Milwaukee, of black firefighters in Milwaukee, you know, we went to New York and from all around the country. I must have been about 100 of us, really. It was dynamic, you know, to support what happened. And only 12 brothers died. Now, there was a documentary called All Our Sons, narrated by Alfre Woodard, that was on PBS, you know, and they made mention of the discrimination within the New York fire department, which is historic and systemic. You know, of the 343 people that passed, only 12 of us. Only 12.
Well, that's a, you know, that's a, that, you know, I'm sorry to say it, but hey, that's a good thing.
No, I'm not sorry to say know, that, because I agree with that.
But the way they treated us.
Yeah.
They treated us like we were, how could I say it? That's a job to whereas it's a legacy job. If you white and your family member was a
nepotism,
you go get the job.
Oh, right. Nepotism and cronyism is huge in the fire service. Has been and continues to be. And that's why lawsuits were enacted. In fact, I remember we had the Justice Department at our convention in Los Angeles back in the early 2000s. And he said, there are more lawsuits against fire departments than the other occupation because they're the most discriminatory because of the unique working arrangements. You live in a firehouse, and a lot of those Caucasians did not want any of us in those firehouses, and they wanted those jobs secured for their sons and their nieces and nephews and daughters or whatever. You know, that's why they hated the idea of affirmative action. You know, But that's how I came on the job.
It's one of those jobs, man, that you wanna have it if you can get it, man, because
definitely.
I know people that do it, and anytime you can work 24 hours and have 3 days off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know people that went to law school and everything
because they were firefighters, no doubt.
Yeah,
I do too, man. He did all kinds. I remember brother, this is ironic because he was an EMT, but he was never a paramedic, but he became a medical doctor, an internist. He traded a lot so he could go to school, because he could go to med school during the week. And so he worked weekends. He worked Saturday, you know, and Sunday. Because, you know, our job is 24/48. There's a lot, most jobs are 24/48. There's all kind of other working arrangements. DC was 24/72, just like you stated, work one day off three, you know. And there's some of them that are 10 and 14. You work 10 hours for a stretch of days, then you work 14 hours, then you're off 5 days, you know. So there's a lot of different arrangements. But once again, I always say it's the best job you can have working for somebody. You know, Chicago, my good friend, one of my best friends, he's a former retired captain in Chicago, but he's very instrumental in establishing the Black Firefighters of Chicago, the African American Firefighters League, and unfortunately, they're no more because weak leadership, and at a terrible time to have weak leadership because they are losing big time. They had some of the most brothers and sisters on the fire department of any major city fire department. They surpassed Philadelphia. Philadelphia used to have the most. They surpassed them, but now their numbers are dwindling big time for a number of reasons. Yeah, for a number of reasons, and they're not coming on the job. And the management, which is us, in Chicago Fire Department, has been very weak. The mayor
is... whenever black people get into a certain position of authority, they are not gonna, hire their own. That's the reason why affirmative action never got to the level that it should have been in regards to the numbers with our people, because they would hire a black person to be the head of hiring, and that Negro would be so damn scared he would never, ever, ever hire one of his own. You know, that's the sickness. That's the sickness of us. That's how we get down. We'll keep me and you from achieving and being in a position to maybe, you know, not do the right thing than anything.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they just scared of what the white man gonna think.
Well,
you know.
Well, but if you didn't have to have hiring, because most of it with the implementation of those hiring practices were through affirmative action, and a lot of affirmative actions had consent decrees, and you had a for lack of a better term, you had a ratio. You had, you had to have, say, for instance, you can hire, you know, 2-1, you know, a quota, you know. But that's how I came on the job. They had to hire us. The numbers were so puny and so putrid. And so they wanted to reach the same amount of people we had in the Milwaukee's population at that time, which was about 17%. Now it's about 45%. Us, and yet we're less than 10% of the fire department, man. We are less than 10%. When I came on Milwaukee Fire Department, it was 1,100. Today, it's almost less than 800. When the highest we reached of number of brothers and sisters on the job was like 170. Now they have about 80. So I'm saying, and it's the same thing in Chicago, the same thing in other places. You know, they ended affirmative action. Affirmative action ended just like Reconstruction. Lasted about 10 years, had a little bit of impact. You got Caucasian backlash, Caucasian resentment and hatefulness. And then they strike it all down. And then it goes back to especially the fire service, go back to hiring as usual, more so than the police department. Because the fire service is a job, just like you said, that where nepotism and cronyism is systemic, historic, and rampant, you know? And so that's what happened. And even though we won again, the Milwaukee Brotherhood of Firefighters, we helped some other brothers and sisters get a job. In fact, one of the sisters who we helped get a job, she is now the deputy chief. She's one of the deputy chiefs in Milwaukee.
Is she helping people get jobs?
Yes, she is. She is a member of the association. But once again, you know, what the brothers and sisters do, the impact is going to have to come from the Fire and Police Commission. The impact should have to come from the mayor. But more importantly, man, I look at it this way. More importantly, the impact should come from the citizens. The people of Milwaukee, the people of Chicago, New York, and so forth saying, I want my department reflective of the city I serve. I want my son and daughter to have the same opportunity to be a firefighter. Because we're this percentage of this population and our taxes pay for that service. So I want to reflect that. The citizens should make those hard demands to whoever. And it ain't no damn merit system. It ain't never been no damn merit system in this country. Ever. That people are truly.
Hey, it's a situation in this country to where as I think we as black people are just accepted of whatever white folks decide they want to give us, and that's it. We not going to do anything to place ourselves in a dominant position when we dealing with this enemy. I mean, I'm just sorry to say it, but that's just the reality at this time, because I think we still scared of white folks.
Well, you're trained to be. You're trained to be fearful of Caucasians. You're trained to be, if you come out and force these, you're trained to be and do something because you're afraid that your livelihood, you're afraid that even your life.
You don't talk back to them. You don't talk back to them. You don't say anything to them. If they talk to you in a fashion that is not the way you should be spoken to, you just accept it. And, hey, man, I mean, at some point in time, you got to say, as a people, enough is enough and want to be in a situation of having your own dominance, man.
Yeah.
I mean, why can't we be dominant in the manner in which we deal with this oppressor?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Instead of being worried about
what's
going to be took it from you, but... You know, I don't know.
Man,
as always, a great show. And keep doing what you're doing, man. And you know, I've liberated from using the C word, I think, man. I feel restricted. You know, I just don't feel right. I mean, when it stopped rolling off of my tongue, it feels as though I can't breathe.
Okay, Jay.
All right.
You too, brother. Peace to you, man. Jay. Yeah, brothers and sisters, I thank you for listening. Once again, we will be back on Wednesday. My guest will be Brother Bomani Tahimba of Africa for the Africans. We'll talk about his recent trip to Senegal and Gambia and what else Africa for the Africans is doing, upcoming trips and so forth. And then on Friday, Brother Akilah Parker will be with me again, and we're going to talk about Walter Rodney. I look forward to that conversation. And then next week, Brother Franklin Jones, next week Wednesday, will be my guest. On Monday, next week Monday, I'm going to start doing some things from the Pan-African Alliance online, a number of things that they have online, topics and concerns and so forth. Try to go into that periodically.
You say the Boogie Woogie Man is coming back?
Yeah, Franklin Jones will be back, man.
Oh, you got, hold on, let me get the date right because I got to mark it on my calendar. Oh, man, you saying next Monday the Boogie Woogie Man is going to be back?
No, next week Wednesday, Jay. Okay.
Okay, because I got an appointment. I got an appointment.
Well, then cancel it.
I was going to cancel the appointment if the Boogie Woogie Man was going to be there, but now I don't have to.
You don't have to, man.
The following Wednesday,
right?
The Boogie Woogie Man will be there.
That's right.
Oh, man.
The Black Matrix, brother.
Boogie Woogie will be back.
All right, Jay.
Hey. Have a good one, though.
Peace. Yeah, and then on Friday, I'm debating whether I'm going to have the conversation about the movie Great Pyramid K 2019. We will have the discussion. I'm not sure if it'll be the 30th of April. Depends. Also, too, in May, brothers and sisters, we got to pump up African Liberation Day, May 25th. May 25th must be a celebratory day for us. We must find a way. Pan-Africanism, the Pan-African Federalist Movement, all these things. May 25th, I don't give a damn about anybody else. I'm going to act like it's one of the greatest days because it is. It is. African Liberation Day. So anyway, those are the few things that are upcoming. I'm glad that you hung with me. Appreciate that for those who called and for those who listen. Always, I appreciate it. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E. Because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a wonderful day. I look forward to seeing you here again on Wednesday. Peace, family.